All right, so refresh my memory because it's been a while since we've been talking together with holidays and all. What? Huh? Huh? Yeah, family plan. You cut me to the what? Cut me? I don't know what I'm saying. Yeah, cut to the I can't talk tonight. Thank you, Brandy. The family plan, and that means what? Wow, you gave me like all the answers. All right, friends and family, right? Because we're looking at relationships, connecting to God and others. The whole Bible's about relationships pretty much and the way that we can engage in relationships and honor God. That's the best thing to do. So we talked about how the very first thing is that the relationship that you have with God is the most important. Because all the other relationships that you're going to have are based on your relationship with God. If you don't have a relationship with God, then there's no way you'll ever be able to navigate through life with all these different relationships and get it right. Because he's the foundation of it. So you have to build on that. And we looked at family and our responsibility to family. We looked at friends and how to choose friends and keep them accountable and have them keep you accountable and push each other towards Jesus. And then we started talking last week about dating, and we watched a video by Mark Driscoll where he preached a sermon and gave you guys some really practical stuff. He's a funny guy, isn't he? Mark Driscoll. And he gave us some practical stuff on dating, all right? And so this week we're going to dig into a little bit about some of the stuff that he said and see in Scripture where some of this stuff is found. And so tonight we're looking at Proverbs 31. If you guys want to open your Bibles to Proverbs 31 or your phones or whatever you got to read along with us, Proverbs 31. And we're going to look at verses 10 to 31. So it's the second half of Proverbs 31. Anyone know, just off the top of your head, when I say Proverbs 31, what is that chapter? Anybody know? It's kind of a famous chapter that sometimes we talk about. Somebody, what, huh? Go ahead, Brandy.
Godly woman description.
The description of a godly woman. Now, here's the deal with this. Well, are you open there yet? You guys, you're still opening. Go ahead, open. Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31. As you open, I'll tell you a story. When I was a little guy, I think I've told you a little bit about this before, but my best friend's name in first grade was Jermaine Ivory, all right? Jermaine Ivory, so it was like Rob Jones and Jermaine Ivory, and we were best friends. He was African American, I was as white as they come. We were totally opposites in every way, but I loved the dude. He was like my best friend ever. We went everywhere together, we hung out. And he, like anytime we would do anything, he would always go back and tell me, wait, before we do this, he's like, we're gonna do a certain way. And he'd always have like a way to do everything that we did. It didn't matter what we were doing. He had a way, it had to be done, and that's how we do it. But it wasn't just because he thought it should be done that way. He would always say that we had to, he said, we just got to listen to mama. That's what he would tell me. We got to listen to mama. That's what I was like, okay, why are we listening to mama? Because apparently everything that he did, his mama would say, hey, listen, do it this certain way. And he'd believe what mama said. So he, when we went to do it, he'd go, we got to listen to mama. And so we would do it that certain way. Have you ever seen Waterboy with Adam Sandler? I know it's like an older movie. Yeah. And what does he always say in that? What does his mom tell him? You know, he's like talking, he's like in the class with like his chemistry teacher, and he looks like Colonel Sanders, and he's like, you're talking about like why alligators are so mean. Do you guys remember that part? And he's like, it ain't the double oblongata, Colonel Sanders. Yeah. And mama says, how about Forrest Gump? You guys know that movie, right? Yeah. Forrest Gump, what is his big thing? Yeah. What is he saying that about mama? Somebody help. Box of chocolates, right? We got all these phrases. Mama is just all over everywhere giving people advice about good stuff because moms have lots of awesome wisdom, all right? Yeah. Mama says I'm special. We can look, the quotes go on and on. And you all probably have quotes from your own mamas. If I were to ask you, are there certain things that you know mama says you need to do it a certain way, you'd probably be like, yeah, Rob, this, and this. My mama will whip me if I do it this way. Like, we have mamas that love that. Love that we listen and that we hear their advice and their wisdom. And it's a good thing. And having a mom that has that wisdom that she passes on to you is awesome. And the Bible actually holds it up very high. And you are lucky if your mom is like that because she would probably fit a really good description that we're going to get in Proverbs 31. And here in Proverbs 31, we're actually getting what this thing is it's a poem. It's a poem for Solomon to be able to realize, like, I got to go look for this wife, and he might not have taken all the advice because he had a lot of wives, but that's not the point. This poem was given to him, and it's called an acrostic. Does anyone know what an acrostic is? I know it's a big, weird word. What is an acrostic? Anyone in English learn that yet? You learned it? It's the acrostic poem.
You do the word down, and then for each letter of the word, you do another word.
Exactly. Right? So if you put like Rob, it would be like really, I can't think of an O word. All I could think was ostrich. It was like, I'm not an odd. Come on now. All right, we're going to change that one. Outgoing.
Boy.
All right, forget it. We're going to go. But yes, that's exactly what it is. But this isn't like a word. This is, they're using the whole alphabet. And they're going to go down the entire Hebrew alphabet. And for every letter, give a description of a godly woman. The type, not just a godly woman, but the type of woman that is good to marry. So when we're talking about dating in this section, this is a great place for us to dig in, because it's going to tell you, hey guys, you want to find a girl that's worthy in God's eyes of you to take as a wife, and to know you're not making a mistake in your choice? Look right here down this chapter and see what he says for a description. These are things you should be looking for. But guys, you're not off the hook. It's not, all right, let's check the girls out and see if they meet up with our standards tonight. Because you should be living up to this standard so that that girl, when you find her, actually wants to marry you. You find this really, really awesome girl, and you're not living the life, she's going to be like, see ya. There's no chances you're going to get her. So this chapter isn't just for girls to like go down a checklist and try to change their lives, but it's really for all of us to say, hey, what does it look like to be a person who God would say, yeah, marry that person. Make that person someone that you invest your heart and your life into. And so let's look through it. It's a really long thing, and we probably need like an entire 8 weeks to go through it, but we're going to try to scoot through it just tonight, because we got a lot of other things in this series we're going to look at. So maybe we'll come back later and look more in depth. But before that starts, one thing you need to know is that it doesn't move logically through this chapter. Like, it's not like you start off with this and then this follows it and this should follow it. It's based on the letters, okay? So we're going to get different ideas throughout different parts of the passage. But when we're done, we're going to see this awesome picture come together of a person that is dateable in God's eyes, all right? So here we go. Proverbs 31, hopefully you're there now. Verse 10, that's where we're going to start. It says, an excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. All right. So is he saying that, wait a minute, an excellent wife, like that's impossible. You can't find one of those, just forget it and marry whatever's around. Is that what he's saying? Why is he asking that question? What do you think? An excellent wife, who can find? You think maybe it's a difficult thing to find the person, the description that meets the description of this passage? That it's not just every single person that walks by you that will probably look like this. Well, look what it says after the question. She is far more precious than jewels. Now, I was at this coin show in Orlando this last week. And at this coin show, they had this, I know, you're like, coin show? I went with other people. I just got dragged there. But it was actually sweet. The theme was like pirates and stuff. And so they had all this pirate treasure right in the center of this huge coin show. And you could walk in and they had these cannons, these like huge cannons. And inside the cannons, the pirates would hide all this treasure, like coins and gold and silver and all this stuff, so they could sneak it into different places. And nobody would know they had it. And so when the ships like broke or got blown up or whatever and sunk, the cannons would go to the bottom and sink down and have all this treasure inside, like, the cannon part of it, you know, the barrel. And the guy that worked there, who was kind of, like, overseeing it, was a diver for the company that found that treasure, that Spanish treasure. So I got to, like, chat with him for a minute and talk to him here. And it's awesome to hear how much work goes into finding treasure. I just figured, like, you know, you go out there, you swim around a little bit, and then boom, there it is, and you pick it up, you know. It's not. They actually lease out like the water all the way down Florida so that they can go out and have the rights to be able to just go up the entire coast, up and down all the time, searching this treasure out. And it's not easy. They have to literally search for this stuff. And you guys know that. I mean, if you've ever gone to like the beach and try to find like cool stuff in the sand, like it's hard. Easter eggs hunts are hard for most of us, right? Like searching things out is difficult, especially when it's precious jewels and treasure. And that's kind of what makes it so precious, is that it's hard to find. It's not just everywhere all over the place. It's not the first thing you walk on up to. Like, I have a friend that we used to go to the beach when we were younger, and like my mom loved collecting seashells. So she'd be like, send us out and be like, bring me back the prettiest ones, you know, and we'd have like a competition. And like my friend would always bring back like the ugliest shells, like anything you'd find, just grab it and like bring it back. And she'd be like, oh, it's beautiful, you know, like throw it over here. Like it wouldn't take the time to actually search it out. It takes time to find something beautiful. It takes time to find something precious. And I don't know if you've ever, have you ever panned for gold? Anyone ever tried that before, panning for gold, or seen like on cable, they have this one show like Gold something or others. You guys know what I'm talking about? I know I'm terrible with names of TV shows. Well, anyway, same coin show. They had this place where they brought all this dirt from North Carolina, from this river. They just like dug it all up and literally brought it down to Florida and just had this huge pile of dirt from the river. And they didn't know what was in it. They just threw it there. They knew the river had gold in it. And there's this like big water trough all around it. And you get to like take the pans and actually like try to like sift out the gold and see if there's any gold in the big clump of dirt they put in your pan. And I'll tell you what, at first it was like, oh, that's easy. I'm seeing all these little kids like get all this gold out. I'm like, no big deal. I'm sitting there, I'm shaking that thing and shaking that thing and shaking that thing. And like half an hour later, I still have this much like dirt still in my pan. It's hard. And my wrist is getting tired. And finally, like the guy's telling me the story. He's like, yeah, you know, people find lots of gold. There was a guy in California who found a 5-pound nugget of gold like a couple weeks ago. Imagine a 5-pound nugget of gold. Right. The dude kept it. Yeah. I was like, what? Not, it wasn't like from his little thing. It was like a dude in California in a legit river. But like, I was like, am I going to find a 5-pound nugget in here? He's like, maybe. I was like, dude, you know, I'm shaking even harder, you know, like, but it takes time. You want to find the good stuff, it takes time. And so part of what we're being told here is this. Don't just jump after the first thing that comes out in front of you. And sometimes we get excited about dating, and you guys are like in junior high, you're like, soon I'm going to be old enough, my parents are going to let me date. Don't be so excited about the hype of dating that you just jump into the first relationship that comes along. She looked at me, so that means we get to go out, yes! Just because she looked at you doesn't mean that she's the one, all right? It doesn't even mean that it would be healthy for you to do it. Wait. Wait for that treasure. Look for treasure. And here's what I mean by treasure, right? Because you might be thinking like the prettiest girl, right? Or the coolest girl, or whatever. You have your list. We're going to see that that's not necessarily, those aren't the treasures he's talking about that you should be looking for. So let's go on and see what that treasure actually is. Verse 11 says, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. What do you think that's telling us there? Any big words stick out to you guys when I read that? Trust. She's trustworthy. You're looking for someone who's honest. You're looking for someone who's upfront, who's an open book. You're looking for someone that you can count on. Would you want to be married to someone who's going to lie to you the whole time? Would you want to be married to someone who lies to everybody else the whole time? Who, you know, you're counting on and she always lets you down? What kind of life would that be if you are married to somebody like that? And so one of the qualities that he's saying you should look for is someone you can trust who loves honesty, because God doesn't lie. And so she's imitating God in her trustworthiness. Do you guys watch Duck Commander at all? Anybody watch Duck Commander? And Duck Commander fans, there's this one episode where Willie's like, he leaves Uncle Si and Jace and some other dudes like to work. And they're like making all these duck calls, and they got this huge order of duck calls, and it was going to make them a ton of money. So he's like, we got to get them all done. So you guys stay here. I got to go to a meeting or whatever. And he's like, I'm trusting you to get this done. They're like, oh, no problem, Willie. We're going to get it done before you get back. So Willie takes off. He comes back. And what do you think he finds when he comes back? If you saw the episode. No, they built like this crazy like ramp thing out of some. And they're right, you know what I'm talking about? And they're like going down the ramp. He's like, what? And they hadn't done one duck call the entire time. They missed the order. Willie was so mad. You can't trust that. How would you want to have people in your life that you can't trust? People working for you that you can't trust. Now imagine a person that you're married to for the rest of your entire life. Girls, a husband like that that you can't trust. Guys, a wife like that you can't trust. And so one of the really big things we should be looking for, this treasure, is someone who's trustworthy, who's honest. All right, the next thing he says in verse 12 is, she does good to him, or she does good and not harm all the days of her life. What sticks out to you in that one? Is there one word that you would say kind of characterizes that verse? Yeah.
Good.
Goodness describes this person. She's not a person that goes around and she gossips and talks behind people's back. She's not a person that wants to just tear people up all the time and says mean things about people. She's not that person that wants to see bad things happen to others. She doesn't want harm. She wants good for other people. All the days of her life, she hopes for other people, for the best for other people. Now, junior high, stop for a second, because I was there once. Is that typically a junior high attitude as you walk through the hallways of your school that everybody just wants the best for everybody else? It's hard to find. This is treasure. You're going to have to shake and sift and move because we laugh at stuff like that. We think talking about people and making fun of people is cool and funny. We think that gossiping is kind of sweet and it makes you part of the cool crowd. We think that talking trash and making like cutting people down with our words is cool. Let me tell you right now from Scripture, that's not cool. It's something people do because they're scared of their own selves. Typically, it's a person that I'm not confident in me, so I need to cut everybody else down and talk about how much these people annoy me and because I'm not confident in me. And what we're being told here in this wisdom poem is that we want to find someone who will lift us up and want good for other people. That's going to be hard to find. You're going to have to sift a while to see if you can find someone whose treasure is that in their heart, that all the days of their life, they're looking out for your best as they love you well, for your children, for the people around you. Now here's the deal, guys. If you're not this, you're not going to get a woman who's like this. If you're not a man who wants the best for other people and wants good for them and doesn't want harm for others, then there's no girl in her right mind that looks like this that's going to want to marry you or date you. This is important for all of us to have the heart of God here as we love other people well and we're characterized by goodness. Now, the next piece is a big chunk, all right? And listen to what it says. It uses some weird words in here from like olden days, so it might seem a little weird. But ready? Here goes. Verse 13. She seeks wool and flax. I just think it's funny. And works with willing hands. Willing hands she works, okay? She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it's yet night and provides food for her husband. I can't talk tonight. Household and portions for her maidens. How about like, think about Thanksgiving. How early does your mom get up on Thanksgiving to make a turkey? You guys even see the turkey go in the oven most of the time? Anybody? You smell it. It's already 8 o'clock. Mom was up at 3 putting that turkey in the oven or whatever in the morning. It's still dark. That's kind of like the picture we get here. Ready? Keep going. It says, verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. Now listen, why would you not turn your lamp out at night? Any ideas? You're up. Yeah, I'm still up. I'm still working. I'm still doing things. Here we have the picture of a woman who gets up really early, whose lamp stays on at night, who works, who doesn't run away from a little bit of hard work. Now, girls, let's get honest with each other a little bit, all right? Because, you know, sometimes we can have, you know, this little mentality that I'm the princess, you know, and my boyfriend or whatever should spoil me and take care of me, and it should be all about me, and we have the word high maintenance, you know. And sometimes in our culture, the girl who's high maintenance is the girl all the guys want, right? Because they're like, you know, they kind of make you work for it. This woman here isn't a high maintenance girl. She's not the princess. She's not the one that says, hey, you have to spoil me rotten and take care of me and make me feel like I'm... That's not her. She's the one that says, I'm going to be the first one to work. I'm going to be the first one to support my husband as he's out there working in the fields, bringing food home for my family. I'll be right here working. I'll stay up late. I'll wake up early. I'm not afraid of hard work because it's part of life. We're built to work. And I want to take care of my husband. I want to take care of my kids. I want to take care of my family because I love them. And hard work, I'm not scared of. Some of the girls are like, oh no, Like, I thought I was going to sit on the couch and go shopping all day long and he was going to work. Like, and some of you are all probably, whatever. Anyway, we'll just leave that before you slaughter me. All right. So, some of you guys, wake up call, because if your wife's going to be a hard worker and you're going to be a bum sitting on the couch, that ain't going to work. So don't be like, hey, I'm going to marry a sugar mama and she's going to be a lawyer and she's going to just make all this money and I just lay at home work on my truck. Like, that ain't going to work either. All right. Remember, to get a girl like this, you have to have this quality yourself. She's probably going to look at you and be like, you're just a bum, dude. I'll go take care of my own kids. All right. So hard worker. Verse 19. Excuse me. She puts her hand to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. There's another picture of work here. But we see a little bit more. They're talking about merchandise. They're talking about her planting vineyards and seeing a good one and buying it, having like an eye for money. She knows how to handle money. You know that one of the number one reasons for people who get divorces today, it's because of money. They break up because they argue over money. And you're in middle school and you're like, well, right now I don't really have money problems. Like, people just give me money. My parents take care of me, so it's cool. But guess what? As you're making your own money and getting a job, one of the biggest stresses in a marriage is over money. And so, guys, you don't want to marry a girl who's a shopaholic. Like, we laugh about it. We see movies about it, whatever. We talk about how girls love to shop and spend money all the time. But it's not cool. It might be funny in movies, but it's not funny in your real life where you have spending problems and you're married to a woman who doesn't know how to handle funds and is constantly spending and your family's kind of at risk for it. And guys, same thing. Girls, you don't want to marry a guy who can't handle funds, who's so absorbed in money and spending that he misses out on the real things in life. A guy who's always at work, so he doesn't care about being at home with the family and loving his kids and loving his wife well because he's so into his job. Money can be a big stressor. Find a person whose heart is for Christ and for the people around them, who can say, hey, I know how to handle money so that I can survive. I'm not going to be in love with money. Verse 20 says, she opens her hand to the poor. I love that this comes right after the money talk, right? She opens her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not self-centered. This is a woman who loves other people. I bet, guys, when you're like looking around the room, you're like, which one of these girls might I want to ask on a date? The first thing you probably look for, right, is that she like goes feeds poor people. Like, that's the number one, like, you're looking for that. That's like top on the list, right? But you know what? It's important that you do take this into consideration when you're looking for that treasure, that you're looking for someone who has a heart that's not wrapped up in themselves. But she's out taking care of people, not just her family. You know, sometimes we have that like family elitism, like I love my husband and my kids and that's it. And then everybody else can just, you know, whatever. This is a picture of saying, I'm going to look outside of myself and everyone else and love people, even the people who are hard to love. Even the people that sometimes stink, that sometimes are rough. People that live in poverty, people who are in need. She has a heart to help others and to love other people. Is that a quality that you're looking for? Girls, is that a quality that you can look in your heart and say, man, that's something Christ is doing in me? Guys, is that something that you're concerned with? You see, because we're called to be people who take care of and love other people. We've studied that over and over. It comes up all through Scripture. Love God, love others. And this is a love others thing. Are you looking out to love and care for other people? Verse 21, excuse me, says, she's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. They're like, what? What does that mean? Here she is at home taking such good care of her family. We saw her taking care of others and loving others. Now we see her taking care of her family and her house. She's a woman who says, it matters to me that my kids have what they need to survive. It matters to me that my household is taken care of so that my husband can do what? What does it say there? Did you read that? Where's the husband at? It says he's out in the gates, sitting among the elders of the land. He's leading. There's leadership here. He's able to go out and lead and invest because he knows he can easily go sit in the gates and talk because his heart is at peace knowing she's got this. My wife is a trustworthy woman who loves my family and will give to other people and all these qualities we just saw. That's her heart. And when she's home, and I know I can trust her with all my heart so that I can be about my business. And I don't have to go and worry and never go out because I got to be home doing all these things because I can't trust her because there's nothing there because I think she's just all about her sitting, eating bonbons, watching soap operas or shopping. And then she never takes care of anything at home. And now I got to do that too. That's a tough life. And so we need to be looking for women that say, I love my family. I love my husband. I love my household and I take it serious. The next thing it says here is, verse 24, she makes linen garments, clothes, and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. Why do you think she's laughing at the time to come? Any ideas? She's like, that's so funny. It's coming. The time's coming. Like, would that make you laugh? No, you think about the future and you just giggle. Like, what is it? What does this mean? Yeah. She's confident. She's not worrying. Like, the other option is that she could be sitting there crying and worried about the future, but she doesn't need to worry about the future. Any ideas why? Why is she not worried about the time that's coming? She's working hard, yeah. She's kind of got things set. Any other thoughts? She's living in the moment. What else? Okay. She knows God. You know, a woman that has all these characteristics is a woman whose heart's been changed by the gospel. You're not going to find someone who's honest and outward thinking and loving other people and taking care of her family and trustworthy and all those things because that's the exact opposite of a sinful heart. We're seeing fruit of the Spirit, and if the fruit of the Spirit's showing up in this woman, it's because Jesus has done a work in her heart. And so when she looks at the future, she can say, you know what, all my stuff is in order. I've been following Christ. I've been loving my family and others well. And so when I look to the future, I'm not worried. I can laugh at it. I can have joy in my heart as the future's coming because I know that my God is in charge and he's in control of time and my life. So she's not worried. And now look at it ends with this, verses 26 to 29. She opens her mouth with wisdom. And the teaching of what? Kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. He's kind of summarizing everything. You see this? He's wrapping up all the things we've talked about. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. That's what he says about her. There's a lot of awesome women out there, but you're the best. Now, if you think sometimes how you act when you're like, let's say youth group, and then you think at the same time, like, how do you act at home at night when you're hanging out with your family? Is there sometimes like an inconsistency between the way that, you know, you act in those two places? Like, would it be the same? Do you act the same? Like, a lot of times you'll think about like your family and how it looks at home, and then you think about your family when you're in public, and there's usually a difference. We're on our best behavior because there's people around. But when you get home, sometimes it's not quite the same. Right? So for a woman like this to have her kids who are home watching everything she does and learning from her, jump up and praise her. Like, she's the real deal. For her husband to say, look, I know this woman better than anyone in this entire world. And she's better than any woman that is out there, then you know it's the real deal. Because she's not just that way in public. She's not just putting on a show so people think she's awesome. But when she's home in the quiet and privacy of their house, they can attest to the fact that mom is real. This woman here is the same way everywhere. She loves people. She speaks wisdom. She teaches kindness. She takes care of our household. She's not lazy. She's the real deal. You want a person who's the real deal. You see, you can shake that little sifter and look for that treasure, and you might find some false gold in there here and there that glitters and looks real great. But you want the real deal. You don't want fool's gold. You want the real deal. And that's what they're saying here. Look for the real deal, the real treasure. Because what will happen is as she does this, you know what it does to the family that she's kind of over? As dad's working and doing his thing, mom's kind of the one home pulling the family together. It cements a family together. When mom is the real deal, this family comes together. His dad brings leadership, and mom pulls his family together. Now you're like, I'm just in middle school. Why are we talking about this already? Because it's never too soon. Because I know too many middle schoolers who are having babies, starting families. I know. Some of you are like, what? Yeah. I know too many 13 and 14-year-olds that are doing that. And so guess when we need to start? Right now. You need to start thinking right now. Now, I'm not saying you need to start getting married right now and next year. I'm not saying that. But your culture is. Your culture has already washed that wave over you and said, hey, guess what? Start looking at this stuff and thinking about this stuff and going to these places and doing these things. And if we don't start being proactive and say, look, this is the healthy, real, true way that God has ordained for you to do this, then culture is going to win. And we're going to start listening to that and doing it its way instead of God's way. So listen, it's maybe too early to get married, but it's not too early to start thinking about the right way to get there. And that's where we're at tonight. Start looking for the treasure. Don't date just because everybody else is dating. Guys are like, well, I won't feel as cool as my buddies and have bragging rights unless I'm dating now. Who cares? Who cares? When you get in front of God, is he going to be like, so did you date when you were 13? No, he's not going to ask you that. But he might say, hey, you found that treasure I sent for you. It took you a few years, but it's awesome. You found that treasure. She's the real deal. All right? Last two verses here, and then we'll close. Check this out. This is like a little warning at the very end. Everything's wrapped up in these two verses from this whole chapter. It says, charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. Now, charm... We all want someone who's fun to hang out with, someone who's awesome, someone who makes us feel good about ourselves. And it's a good thing. Hopefully, the person that you date and eventually marry, you like them. You enjoy hanging out with them. It'd be terrible to marry the person that makes you miserable. You're up at the altar, you're like, I promise to make you miserable for the rest of your life. I do too, you know, and then, okay, let's get married. You know, like, that's terrible. You want to find someone who you love getting along with and you enjoy being around. That's great. And look what it says next. Beauty is vain. You want to be attracted to the person. It doesn't say beauty is like the worst thing in the world, but it's vain. It's empty. Because guess what? As pretty as that girl is right now that you're looking at across the room, you're like, I wish you would date me, whatever. You get the butterflies in your stomach. Eventually, gravity's going to kind of start pulling things down and hair's going to fall out and she's going to look a little older and get the walker and you're going to be like, it's not going to last forever. It doesn't take very long. So beauty's awesome and you should be attracted to the person that you're going to get married to and have kids with, yes. But it's vain, so be careful. Charm and beauty are awesome things, but they are not the goal. And they're not going to hold a marriage together. They're not going to hold a relationship together. And sometimes, most of the time, the very first thing we do is look, who's the cutest one in here? Like that's how we look for someone to ask on a date. Who's the hottest one? Or who's the coolest one in here, makes everybody laugh, she's so cool and popular, I want to date her. And he's saying that that shouldn't be the top of the list. Because they're not going to last. But look what he says next. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. I hate to say it, but we live in a culture that laughs at that. If you get with a group of buddies on a football field, and they're like, hey, what do you want in a girl? And be like, I want a girl who loves Jesus with all her heart. You'll probably get laughed off the field. And called a few names on the way out. Girls, you get together with a bunch of girls and you're talking, guy talking, and you're watching The Notebook or whatever you do. You're going to be like, he needs to be dreamy and he needs to be romantic. He needs to have charm. Charm me, make me feel good. The first thing you probably say is not, he needs to love God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. You'll probably get laughed at. It's just not our culture. But the God of the universe who created you, who made your blueprints, who designed you exactly how you are, knows what you need better than you know what you need. And he's telling you, find someone who fears the Lord. Now, it's cool because this book of Proverbs that we're in right now starts off by saying the beginning of knowledge, what, you guys know? Anybody know? It's fearing the Lord. Fearing the Lord. And now we're ending the book. This is the very last, these are the last verses in Proverbs. The second to the last verse, closing the entire book of wisdom, says this. Find a woman, a mate, who fears the Lord. So let's start off by saying this whole book is about fearing the Lord. And what you need most, if you forget all of the other qualities we talked about tonight, is find someone who loves God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then be like, are you cute? Okay, cool. You're cute too. Are you awesome? Yeah, you're awesome too. Okay, sweet. But let the number one thing that attracts you be they love God. They love God with everything they are. And then you've found someone, you've found that treasure, and you've sifted and you've searched, and it might have took some time, but it was so worth it because you found the treasure. So next week, we're going to have a special speaker come over. Anyone know Miss Davis, Vicki Davis? No, Tim Davis? Okay. His mom runs the APC. And she's going to come over next week and talk to us about some stuff with purity and temptation and different things like that. And she is awesome at talking about stuff like that. So she'll be with us next week as we continue our series on dating and marriage. All right, so pray with me and then we'll close. Father, we love you and we thank you that relationships are good and that we're made that way and designed that way. And Lord, I just pray for our hearts that we be people that desire you more than anything. And so we desire a mate that loves you more than anything. Father, make us people that are worthy of dating or marrying someone like that. That we be people that fear the Lord and that we look for people who fear the Lord. So we love you. We thank you for Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.